You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Ravens podcast. My name is Matt Hall and I'm delighted to be joined by Charlotte Richardson. Charlotte, how are you doing today?
Hi Matt, I'm really well, thank you. How are you? How's things?
Yes, all good. Very, very busy as we're about to go into. It has been a very hectic start to the season here in all kinds of ways at the club, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a real whirlwind of a month and of a start of the season at Hayes Lane. You kind of look back on September already, we've had six games involving our under-23s and women's team and the men's team, of course. So there's been lots and lots of stuff going on. I think it all kind of culminated, didn't it, in a fantastic weekend for our men's and women's teams. Of course, the Derby win on Saturday, followed up by an 8-1 win for the women's team as well. So I don't think the schedule is going to let up anytime soon, but with all our teams doing so well, hopefully we can build some momentum going into October.
Absolutely. And let's look back on those games, shall we? There's been quite a few of them in September so far. Of course, we've still got a couple to come, haven't we? We've still got one to come for the men's and one for the women's as well. So Eastleigh, the first game of the month for the men's first team. It was a 2-1 victory on that day. And a great way to start the month. Adam Marriott with a double, and he's really proving to be quite a signing, isn't he?
He is. I think the quality and the poacher's instinct that he has is incredible. Obviously, we have the luxury of seeing the team train day in, day out, and the runs and the movement that he practices week in, week out, day in, day out, is really paying off for the team. And I think with the comprehensive manner of the way that we played on Saturday, I think it all kind of started from the beginning of the month, really. It's been ramping up a notch, and he's loving scoring here. The fans are loving seeing him score, and long may that continue.
And of course, the one goal that Eastleigh scored in that game was within the first minute, and I think it's a real testament to the character of the team to come back from that. It was a defensive error, and these things happen in football, don't they? But the team turned it around. It was a fantastic performance from everyone, including Adam, who like you say, is a very interesting player to watch, the way he moves, the way he times everything, and actually how strong and good in the air he is as well, despite coming up against some much bigger players. But it was a first minute goal for the opposition, which is not an easy thing to come back from, is it, when you've got all your best laid plans and they're disrupted from the word go?
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately for us, sometimes we do have it in our locker to concede in the opening minute or two. But it is about that strength of character. And one thing that you tend to hear manager Andy Woodman say in pre-match interviews and when he gives his post-match reflections as well is trusting the process. And I think that is something that is ingrained in all the players. So if it does go a little bit awry, or if, again, looking at that Maidstone game with Reece Charles-Cook having to come off due to injury, this team don't get flustered and they've got enough experience in the ranks to begin to control games and do what's necessary and come back when required as well.
It was a great way to start the month, like you said, and a healthy crowd to back the team as well on that day, which is always fantastic to see. There's so much to do here on a match day at Hayes Lane. Unfortunately for the Bromley women, it was a 5-1 defeat against Ashford, which is certainly not the result that they were looking for.
No, it was the first defeat of the season so far for the women's team. They had continued where they left off last season with some fantastic results. Ashford are probably one of the strongest sides in the division. They've got a number of players in their ranks who have enjoyed long, long spells at clubs like Charlton and Gillingham, and they're a strong outfit. But I think importantly, it was the way for the women's team after a bit of a break, they were able to bounce back this weekend, winning 8-1.
Emphatically.
You know, Cray Valley did have some injuries of their own, but when you're the opposition, that's not your problem to worry about. It's about going about your business. So also a way to atone for the goal difference that was maybe lost in that match against Ashford. And we obviously all look forward to the big game in the FA Women's Cup, which I'm sure we will dedicate some more time to talking about on another occasion. But Cray Valley come here to Hayes Lane this weekend. So for any Bromley fans who fancy making a triple header of it, do come down on Sunday as well, because I think it will be a really entertaining game. And if the team can get a double, then it makes a good start to the season, a really, really good start.
And we talk about the DNA, don't we, here at the football club, and that it goes from all of us staff in the office to the first team, to the youth teams, to the women's teams, to the academy, everywhere really. And just looking at these results that we're seeing here, you know, Bromley pegged back early on in that Eastleigh game and an unfortunate result for the Bromley women, but both of them in different ways kind of bouncing back and showing that strong mentality is there across the club.
I think it's something that's been embedded into the football club for a long time as well, that it's going to be very, very hard to pick up 3 points week in, week out in the divisions that all our teams play in. But if, you know, you do lose a game like we did against York, and we should have won that game, but that we bounce back and that you have that resilience. And I think that is a key ingredient for any success to be achieved, but particularly in the National League, where it is so competitive and the margins are so fine. You need to be able to, with the good old cliche, never get too high and never get too low. And we saw that as the month unfolded with the bounce back victory against Maidstone, 3-0. And for our under-23s as well, talking about their start to the season, they were unbeaten, came head-to-head against Aldershot, didn't they, here on Friday night. And it was a 2-2 draw, but they sit top of the league as well. And they've got to go again on Friday evening, with people chasing their tails and wanting to be the first team to beat them. But overall, like you say, the DNA of the football club, a brilliant September so far. This weekend is massive. 3 home games. I'd encourage all supporters to make a real weekend of it and support each and every one of our teams in action.
And like you say there, what a start it's been to Lucas Gatti's career at Bromley. It's been fantastic, hasn't it?
It really has. And when you watch the under-23s play, you can see the style and manner in which they go about their business and how over the years the youth development, the player pathway here at Bromley has strengthened massively. The quality of it all is just really, really impressive. And I think it's really nice to have that opportunity to see the youngsters coming through and playing on the main pitch here as well at Hayes Lane Stadium.
Like you say, Charlotte, the attention to detail that's put into all of the youth and under-23 programmes and the professionalism of it has really come on leaps and bounds over the past few years. And I think you can see the fruits of that in players like Kellen Fisher, you know, starting that game away to Dagenham. It was a difficult game. You know, we were comprehensively beaten despite actually not playing badly at all. But Kellen was a real highlight in that game. He put in a really assured performance up against some really established National League players. And for a 17-year-old, you know, it's quite daunting to go out there and have to do that and be thrown in at the deep end with a defence that haven't really played together and a formation that we hadn't played for a long time. So it's real credit to all of the people that are involved behind the scenes and obviously the up and coming talent that it's just becoming a regular thing seeing them step out into the first team, isn't it? It doesn't really surprise us anymore when we see that, does it?
No, it's fantastic, and Kellen deserves a lot of credit, like you say. A teenager making his debut in difficult circumstances at one of the hardest grounds, I think, and certainly from a Bromley perspective, we never seem to pick up particularly good results at Victoria Road. But it's really interesting, that development stage, and for supporters who do come along on Saturday, and we'll probably hear a clip of it later on. I spoke to defender Omar Shomi this week, and he spoke about when he was at Ipswich going out on loan in the non-league circuit and how much that helped him and how he would really recommend that. And you know, sometimes supporters might see some of the boy band going out on loan and maybe asking, well, why they're not getting their minutes here and so on. But actually managing that experience of when you bleed the youngsters in at the right level at the right time is incredibly important. And it's something that the management and hierarchy here are talking about on a daily basis. They're constantly surveying how the players are getting on. Obviously, the players still train here during the day, with the goal being, of course, to make them first team regulars, but also their development as individuals. And another sort of mantra that I hear a lot of the coaches say here is that they want to develop good players, but they also want to develop good people. And I feel very confident that when we send our players out on loan, I watched Ben Crowhouse for Cray Wanderers and he really stood out, quality, but also the way they conduct themselves off the pitch. So lots to be very positive about at this early stage of the season.
Absolutely. I think I just wanted to touch on the people part of that. I think when you see these young lads conducting themselves in and around the club, they're always very professional. They see themselves as first team players, and that's what they are essentially. We've had the pleasure of having some of them on school visits this week. We had Kellen Fisher and Marcus Sablier. We've got Finlay Lovett as well, and it's great to see them getting out there and realising that these kids really look up to them. And you know, a few years ago they might have been in that position themselves. So it's really, really nice to see, and it's a massive credit to the academy setup and the under 23 set up here, and actually the first team management as well, who are very, very trusting in youth indeed. I just wanted to pick on a couple of these other results that we were speaking about, that York City game. I won't spend too much time talking about it. Those that were there will know that Bromley were much the better side on the night, which has been widely commented on by York City fans as well. Unfortunately, just a case of we couldn't take our chances on the night. And of course, despite going 1-0 up and having numerous opportunities to double and triple that lead, we didn't take them, and we succumbed to a last-minute header from Manny Duku, which was really frustrating. But let's talk about that Maidstone game, not just about the result and the performance on the pitch, but obviously with the sad passing of Her Majesty, there was a lot more to the day, wasn't there, than just the football?
Absolutely. It was a fixture, I think, most of us, certainly in Bromley FC HQ, were keeping an eye on. We actually had requested it to be our Boxing Day fixture. Mm. Likewise, Maidstone did the same, but for some reason, unbeknownst to us, the National League decided otherwise. But it did mean that we had a derby day to look forward to early on. And as soon as we knew when the game was going to be hosted, we really wanted to go for it in terms of trying to get as big a crowd here as possible and to make it a really good atmosphere. And then obviously was the sombering news of the Queen's passing. So the attention and the tone became very different. And it was about how, as a football club, which aims to sort of serve its local community, we could use football as an apt occasion to pay our respects. And it came from the very top, with the chairman setting the tone for how he wanted us to do that. And we were supported by lots of other people to make sure that it happened. And although I wasn't here personally, as soon as I was able to, I wanted to watch and see the minutes silence observed, and also the national anthem, which I found very moving and rousing, and it was perfect. And then, of course, it was followed by a pretty perfect performance. And all in all, just one of those days, I think, as a football fan, you have to savour and be proud of your football club in every respect.
There are so many positives to take from that day. Like you say, very, very sad news indeed. But I think as a football club, we did a brilliant job in respecting that and paying our respects. And thank you to both sets of fans for observing that. And also, I'd like to mention Peter Fiorini, who is, of course, the son of John Fiorini, who's a club icon, really, here at Bromley. And he stepped in pretty last minute, you know, with a couple of days' notice to sing the national anthem. And I think he did a sterling job. And big thank you to Peter, who's a huge Bromley fan. His whole family were there to see it in front of the John Fiorini stand. It was really fitting. And big thank you to the crowd for responding so well to it. And talking of crowd, just under 3,500. Wow, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really pleasing. Obviously, with my role looking after the marketing here at Bromley Football Club, it was a target of ours to try and get that crowd, least of all to help the team, because we're building a fortress here. Andy's trying to build it with the team. We're trying to build it with everything we do to try and make a match day as appealing as possible. And to see that crowd there and to see the reaction at full time, the interaction at full time, the messages on social media. I've said it on a couple of occasions, and I've spoken to Andy about it in interviews. The connection is really, really strong between the supporters and the players. There's been a couple of games so far this season where they've really helped the team grit it out. And the manner in which the team played on Saturday afternoon was fantastic, but it still came with its problems, in the sense of Cookie having to come off and Chris Bush going in goal, yet it was made to look easy. And I think it was because of the way that the supporters contributed to the atmosphere. And I actually, we'll hear a clip now, spoke to striker Adam Marriott, who I think it is safe to say has settled in very, very quickly here at Hayes Lane.
Obviously loving being at the club. At the minute, obviously, it's going well for myself personally, scoring a couple of goals in each of the last two home games. And yeah, like getting a lot of chances and, yeah, just trying to do what I do best, scoring goals. But around the place, it's brilliant, just coming in, working day to day, seeing all the friendly faces. I've been made to feel very welcome. And yeah, like going forward, hopefully we can continue to playing well on the pitch and really pushing up the league, and, you know, hopefully getting the club back to where we want it and really getting it to League Two, where I think, you know, it deserves to be. And yeah, we'll push on from there.
Adam speaks so well, and actually we talk about the player as well as the person. I think everyone can see that the player is very, very much there. And if you look through Adam's career history, his goal record and his goal ratios are really something special, particularly during his time at King's Lynn. But it wasn't only two goals in two home games. It was man of the match winners as well on both occasions. So he's making a habit of winning those MOM awards with the goals. They're very popular with the people who choose the MOM. So long may it continue. I think he's started so well. And actually, I know he himself believes he should have had more goals by now. And he's right. He's played very, very well in every single game I've seen him in. So, really enjoying watching Adam Murray at the moment.
Yeah, fantastic summer signing by manager Andy Woodman. Now, this weekend and this Saturday particularly, we are celebrating a non-league day at Hayes Lane. We talk about looking at the fixtures. One of the first fixtures I looked for, Matt, was the non-league day, which is scheduled for March. For the second year in a row, unfortunately, we're away from home. And it was something we really wanted to do here at the football club, an incentive to try and showcase where this football club has come in a space of time, but also to perhaps engage with supporters that might not have any football to come and watch. And we've been using it as an opportunity to celebrate all that's wonderful about non-league and speaking to supporters and staff. The word that keeps coming up is community. Now, obviously, you are head of community here at Hayes Lane. You lead our incredible community trust, which I think every single week is doing a new initiative, is off somewhere else new. For supporters, let's take a couple of minutes to have a little bit of a catch up and bring us up to speed on what you and your colleagues in the Community Trust team have been up to recently.
How long have we got?
new episode of the podcast.
Yeah, that's it. I think we could probably have an episode dedicated to that in itself. But look, it's such a great pleasure to be able to see the wider impact of football. You know, the pinnacle of the football club is the first team and the match days and all of that. But actually, what goes on behind the scenes and the impact that it can have on people without us necessarily knowing it is absolutely incredible. And it's such a rewarding thing to be able to have an impact in and have a say in. We've been so busy this past few weeks. I think I've said it before. If you rewind maybe 6 months, we had no clubs going on at any local schools. We're now in several schools during the week. And on a Wednesday, for example, we're in three schools at once. And that includes an all-girls provision, which is obviously led by Andrea Ellis, our Women and Girls Development Officer, and mixed provisions elsewhere. And we have just been absolutely chock-a-block with school visits. We've been touring the FA Trophy, which has gone down really, really well with the kids. And we sort of stand at the front of the assembly and say, well, does anyone know what this is? And I think had this happened a few years ago, you would have got a lot of blank looks. And now we're having children put their hands up saying, that's the FA Trophy. I was there. They can tell me what the score was. They can tell me what the attendance was. They can tell me who scored the goal. And it's absolutely fantastic to see. And the look on everyone's faces, even the staff, I have to say, the staff get very excited as well, which is really, really nice. It's something to treasure. And that's, again, a wider impact of what we can do with this football club. And credit to the team for reaching the FA Trophy final and for winning it. And it's inspired a lot of young people in this area without necessarily knowing it. So we've launched some new after-school clubs. We're delighted to be at Darrickwood Infant School now and Wickham Common Primary School as well, in addition to all of the schools that we've been working with previously. And we're always looking for new school relationships, so please do get in touch if your school would like to get involved with us. Our Man v Fat programme continues to grow from strength to strength. Over 600 kilograms of weight have been lost now since the start of the programme across over 200 participants, which is absolutely phenomenal stuff. And given that you look at the health and wellbeing strategy for Bromley a few years back, obesity was one of the key things in it. It was at 57.2%. And for us to actually lead this initiative and be able to make a difference there is absolutely phenomenal. And I said to you, Charlotte, a minute ago, I could be here all day, but two other things I just wanted to pick up on in amongst everything else that we've got going on is our Ravens chat group, which is Andy Woodman's favourite part of the community scheme. He regularly pays a visit. The guys and girls up there, absolutely fantastic. The impact that we're having on their lives as well is truly phenomenal. You know, we sit back and reflect on the pandemic and the impact that it had on people. And there was one person in particular, I won't mention his name, quite a well-known member of the group, really struggled during the COVID pandemic. And we had a lot of conversations, him and me, during that time. And it led us to think, you know, this is a lot of people's life, this football club. And, you know, we're here for them on a Saturday afternoon and the occasional Tuesday. But really and truly, a lot of these people have put years and years and years into this club and supporting them home and away and back in the club and whatnot and doing all kinds of different things. Can we be here for them more than a match day? And the answer is yes. And that's why we launched Ravens Chat and the impact that it's having on people. We were actually broadcast at the National League Awards evening and that was shown to all of the clubs across the National Leagues, which was heartwarming for us. And Roy Oliver was featured in it as well, which was fantastic. So Ravens Chat's been a real highlight and we now look forward to starting our Sporting Memories group, which is similar to Ravens Chat, but is dementia friendly. So we'll be welcoming people who suffer with dementia to the football club and using the power of sport to help them evoke memories from their past. And all of this stuff is very, very powerful and we're in a very fortunate position to be able to deliver this and to make an impact on people.
Well, we say it in jest, but on a more serious note, we will and should have an episode dedicated to all the work that you do in the community. Trust you and your colleagues, and I know you're supported by the players, the playing staff and other members of Team Bromley, and it epitomises everything about the power of sport, the power of football and the power of non-league football. So it's really nice that all of this kind of snowballs together, rolls into this weekend where we will be hosting a non-league day at Hayes Lane. Supporters can come along and enjoy a reduced ticket price to come and see, for the first time in our history, Bromley hosting Oldham Athletic. It's going to be a really, really special afternoon. And in the build-up to the game, I sat down with defender Omar Shomi. Not only has he been picking up clean sheets of late, but he's been notching up a goal or two. In Saturday's Matchday magazine, you'll be able to catch my interview with Omar. But for now, here's a little clip about Omar explaining the impact that non-league football had on his career.
Looking back, I think it was quite scary going from the youth team aspect of things. I think I was 17, 18 maybe, into a man's game as such, because it is so much different. But I really enjoyed my time on loan, and it kind of changed my perspective of what playing, like being a footballer and playing football was.
Do you think professional clubs, that balance, the professional clubs and their relationships with the non-league circuit around them is quite important, because it gives young players, we're seeing it with some of our boy band, it gives them, it bleeds them into that men's game and 100%. Gives them experience.
I think any youngster should do that and would need to do that before going into a first team. Obviously there's the exceptions of the 1%, but it's definitely very helpful and beneficial for a young player.
But it obviously did hold you into good stead, because you played in the EFL and then you made your move from the EFL to Bromley, and perhaps for some people that might have raised a few eyebrows, but the gap between the National League and League Two now seems to be really small. I just wondered how you found that. Did you consider it at all as like a step out, or how did it feel at that time?
At the time, at the gap, like you said, I don't think there's much difference personally playing in both. I mean, you have the exception of a few teams in League Two, obviously the higher hitting teams, but standard wise and everything else, I think it's equal. And even obviously you can see the facilities we've got here push way past probably every League Two team, if not every League One team. So
it's almost like the National League is that third tier, but arguably with the investment going in at the likes of Wrexham and Scunthorpe and some of those big clubs coming down, it's probably one of the hardest divisions to get out of. I always think of it as like as hard as the Championship.
It's one of the hardest, obviously it's a tough league. And to get out of it, like you said, it's extremely hard.
A little clip from my interview with defender Omar Shomi, which you can read in Saturday's Matchday magazine. Really interesting to sit down with Omar and learn a little bit more about his career and how the non-league pyramid system has supported him throughout his career and helped him to become the player that he is. And if he keeps playing how he's playing, I think we have got a strong contender for player of the season. I just feel
and
like
scoring.
He's and scoring, yeah. I just feel like he's got such a strength and aggression to his style of play, but it's benefiting us in both ends of the pitch, which is fantastic. So without further ado, Matt, let's preview the weekend. Obviously it kickstarts with our under-23s on Friday night. So do come along and support the boys in that game if you can. Bromley versus Oldham. You've been at this football club for a very, very long time. Former Premier League outfit playing here. Sometimes you do need a little moment, a little pinch me moment. It's going to be a great occasion.
It is. I mean, like you say there, Charlotte, I never thought those words would be coming out of our mouths, you know. Bromley versus Oldham Athletic at Hayes Lane in the league. You know, you could have pictured this as an FA Cup tie or even a dream FA Cup tie a few years ago. But it's absolutely incredible, you know, some of the teams that we've hosted down here at Hayes Lane over the years and how we've come on leaps and bounds in the past few years ourselves as well. And we've got every right to be playing teams like this, you know. It's on our own merit that we are. It's an exciting proposition, particularly with the non-league day event going on as well, and hopefully a bumper crowd. We know that Oldham Athletic are very well supported. They'll travel very well. It's been an interesting few weeks for them, obviously, with the manager leaving. John Sheridan, former Chesterfield manager, is very much a legend at Oldham Athletic and, of course, resigned from his post and had one last game in charge last week, and they actually beat Eastleigh by 3-2. So, really interesting, kind of a manager signing out on a high, which you don't see that often. And of course, David Unsworth is the manager who's coming to replace him and blow us down. We're the first opposition, aren't we?
Yeah, so it's an important point to make, because there is always that impact, isn't there? There is an impact that the new manager makes. These players are going to be wanting to impress. We know, and I hate to point it out, we know that we are guilty of conceding an early goal here on occasions at Hayes Lane. It's obviously something that is going to have been taken into the management plans this week to be alert to that. And of course, there will be some changes in the starting 11 as well. Reece Charles-Cook won't be able to feature. So it means an opportunity for Arsenal loanee Tom Smith. Really looking forward to seeing him in action as well. It's always so hard when you're a goalkeeper. I remember speaking to Cookie earlier on in the season. It's such a different position. It sounds so silly, but the way that the goalkeeper union here train and you see them sort of day in, day out, Tom is going to be a more than able replacement for him. From a Bromley point of view, Matt, how do you think the team needs to go about Saturday's game? Is it just literally a continuation of where it left off against Maidstone, kind of attacking on the front foot? What are your kind of initial thoughts on it?
I think so. I think in a lot of senses, attack is the best form of defence. I think if you sit back against these sides and try and defend, eventually the atmosphere and that away support will come through. They'll believe more and more as the game goes on. And I think, you know, you look at our home form so far this season, it's been fantastic. That goal that Eastleigh scored in the first minute is still the only goal we've conceded here at Hayes Lane. Absolutely, it's been brilliant to watch the team at home. Particularly the football has been phenomenal, especially on an attacking front. You know, having Adam Marriott there to ease the burden on Michael Cheek as well. He's scoring the goals, he's delivering. I think we've got to go and attack early doors. And, you know, that's historically what we've done in fixtures like this. You look at the first time we played Notts County here at Hayes Lane. We went 1-0 up inside 3 minutes. And we were pegged back, but we ended up winning the game in the second half. And I think if you make a strong start, you start to worry teams like this. And even the supporters of the opposition who might be expecting a fairly easy win will be taken aback. And that will affect the atmosphere in that away end. And it all ties into how the game pans out, I believe, anyway, in my years of watching Bromley. Obviously, you mentioned the goalkeeper situation there. It's a no for clean sheet Chris, unfortunately, Chris Bush. That's what they're calling him now, clean sheet Chris. Coming on and obviously deputising between the sticks for the second time in his Bromley career. This time with the clean sheet, which was great to see. But obviously, Reece has been in brilliant form this season. I'm really pleased for Reece because I think he's silenced a lot of people who might have doubted him, and he's a top quality goalkeeper, and he's really proved that in the early stages of this season. It's really unfortunate the manner in which the injury occurred, but when you have someone like Tom Smith, and I look back at the Arsenal pre-season game, and you know, it's one of the best goalkeeping displays I've seen shot stopping wise for a while here at Hayes Lane. He was on top form. Bromley could have won that game 4 or 5-1. But Tom Smith was the reason why we didn't, you know. And a lot of supporters at the time said they'd like to see him in a Bromley shirt. Well, here we go. Your wish has been granted. So best of luck, Tom. We hope it's not too long a layoff for Cookie. But now there'll be some competition for that number one jersey, so to speak, aren't they?
And that competition is so healthy, and not only is Tom's shot-stopping abilities superb, his distribution as well. So I'm sure players like Corey Whiteley, Harry Forster, that love to push up the pitch, will be relishing the opportunity of maybe latching onto some of his passes, which I'll describe as goal kicks and so on. But reflecting back also on my conversation with Omar earlier this week, I need to fact check it, because I know that Wrexham and Chesterfield have got off to flying starts, but he was saying how the team had one of the best, if not the best, home record, and that is something they, as a collective, really take ownership of. They want Hayes Lane to be a horrible place to come, and hopefully they can imprint that identity early on in this game. And wouldn't it be wonderful to break last week's record, get our biggest attendance of the crowd? So please, if you're listening, tell a friend, bring a friend, go and buy your tickets now whilst they're still £15 for adults, because don't forget they do creep up by a couple of pounds at midnight on Friday evening into Saturday morning. So please do show your support for the boys. You can bring under 11s free with a paying adult, which I think sometimes gets forgotten about. And something I've really noticed over the last few weeks is the number of young supporters who are now coming down to games, which is wonderful to see. And it always warms my heart seeing the photos and the selfies on our social media afterwards. It's again, all that non-league football is about. It's not the only game of the weekend, though. We also have our women's team in action on Sunday. 1 week to go. It's a bit of a... The tension's building nicely now for that massive game in the FA Women's Cup. So, again, if you haven't come down to support the women's team, use this occasion to do so. 8-1 last weekend, Matt. It's going to be a mean feat to replicate that same scoreline. But for the team, again, building that rhythm and that confidence before forgetting about their league duties for a week, it's going to be important.
It's massive, and you've got to think about the opposition in this as well. Obviously, it's a really poor result for Cray Valley, regardless of injuries and circumstances. They're not going to want that to happen again. They're going to be right up for this. And it's not often you get that 2 weeks in a row playing the same opposition. They're going to want a response, and Bromley are going to have to be on their game this Sunday. And obviously the supporters will play a big part in that. We've seen the crowds for the women at Hayes Lane, which is, it's been really, really nice actually to see that level of support. And actually a lot of the season ticket holders, a lot of the regulars, it's now just like coming along on a Saturday to watch the men. It's in their routine now. And that's really, really good to see. And that's, as a club, what we want, isn't it? So yeah, fingers crossed they can get another positive result. I'm not sure they're going to top that one. And I'm sure Cray Valley will be right up for it, as I've been saying. But it's wonderful to see the women's team here when they train during the week, the sessions that are put on, and the fact that how much they appreciate the support that they get. And they've been coming along to the schools with us as well. Sophie and a couple of the other players have been coming along to the schools and leading the assemblies with us. And it's so important for these young girls. And we've got a lot of these girls who are participating in our schemes to be able to look up to players like that and know that that's what they can achieve as well, just as much as the boys, and that's what we're trying to do here. And the women playing on the stadium is absolutely brilliant, and we love seeing it. And very best of luck to them. I'm sure it'll be a tougher game than it was last time out, but yeah, we look forward to seeing hopefully another positive result.
And we will be welcoming players from Bromley FC's women's team to our non-league day on Saturday, where they will be promoting the big game against Millwall Lionesses on the 2nd of October. We want to smash our attendance record for that game. So put a note in your diary, pencil it in, that you're going to spend your Sunday afternoon with us here at Hayes Lane. Matt, that's probably all we have time for this episode of the Ravens podcast. I just have this little buzz in my belly now for another massive weekend for the football club.
It's been brilliant, honestly. The home games recently, it's been a fantastic experience there. You talk about the football that's being played, it's been brilliant. Off the field, fantastic. Like you say, Charlotte, the younger supporters, the selfies, all the engagement from the players. It really is a family club, and it's really an opportunity for us to showcase that. So I just know that we'll take that opportunity with both hands. So very much looking forward to it.
Well, bring on the weekend. Matt, until next time, see you later.
Thank you very much. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from.